Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Sitting with the sky, letting the sun burn me till the night comes. I'll be dark, yeah, roaming from side to side.
From newsounds.org, welcome to another edition of the Soundcheck podcast series, a set of live in-studio performances streaming live on Facebook and YouTube. I'm John Schaefer. The Ecuadorian-American singer and songwriter Roberto Lang has been making records for 10 years now under the name Helado Negro, Spanish for black ice cream. His music is a mix of Spanish and English, acoustic and electronic, art and pop. His most recent album is called This Is How You Smile, and the band is here to play some songs from it for us today. Beginning with the song called Running, here is Helado Negro live.
Just like you.
You got
The song is called Running. El Lado Negro, live here in our New York studio. It appears on the latest album by El Lado Negro called This Is How You Smile. And as always, the music written by Roberto Lang, who is the lead vocalist. You'll hear him playing guitar as well during the course of the set. Roberto, it's always a pleasure to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
And the full complement of musicians with you here today. Opal Hoyt playing the synthesizer, the keytar, not to put too fine a point on it. Nathaniel Morgan on saxophone. Angela Morris behind our piano. She'll be playing a bit of sax as well. Jason Trammell behind our drum kit. Taja Cheek playing the electric bass. And by the end of the set, everyone will have sung at some point or another. So, Roberto, this song is a really good example of the sort of intimate, quiet nature of this record. It seems, on the surface, not to be as kind of politically motivated as the last record, Private Energy. Does that appearance deceive?
I think so, but I think there's songs about things that are really important to me in respect to like political and social things that I care and want to talk about within my music. But also, there's songs on the record, like the second song is called Imagining What to Do, and it's literally about that feeling of living in New York during the wintertime and like just feeling the cold and the snow and wanting to just be in bed and be under the covers. I mean, that's what it's about. And I feel like if you don't live in New York, you really don't know what we're talking about.
I think almost anybody who lives in a northern climate would know what that
means. But for sure, I think New York is special because it's not like when you go out in the snow in New York, you're like, damn, I really don't want to be out here today. You know, I think there's a specialness to the city. It's still the same. It's always the same. It's just kind of like now there's snow on the ground.
Well, but now there are moments on the record, or at least one moment that I can think of off the top of my head, that are not only New York centric, but Brooklyn centric, because there's a piece that refers to that Camperdown Elm.
Yeah.
The tree in Prospect Park. This really weird
gnarly
looking. Yeah.
It's a gnarly one.
Yeah, and that it's almost like a musical diary in a sense.
It's exactly what it is. And it was documenting like all these moments during the past few years of where I was, where I was like thinking about these moments in Florida, thinking about these moments in New York. And that's a really good example because that was just every morning before I would go record in Flatbush, I would wake up with my wife. Her name's Christy. We would wake her up and wake her up. And I was like, let's go for a walk in the park. We live right in front of the park. And she's not a morning person. So it was rough. Sometimes it was like wrestling a bear. But it was great in respect to just like seeing that morning and feeling that morning together. And we would walk through that tunnel that is adjacent to this gnarly tree that we speak of.
Yeah.
And
and
it's
folks
beautiful.
Who don't know the tunnels in Prospect Park, they're above ground tunnels. They're just like overpasses. But they're really echoey.
Yeah.
And musicians are constantly in there playing.
Yeah. It's kind of like there's a lot of like sonic residue throughout where like you can pass through something and it feels like it's still attached in your brain some way or somehow.
Yeah. So New York, obviously, a big part of your life. Florida is where family is. But somehow North Carolina gets into the equation here as well.
Yeah. Again, Christy was away doing some studies at a school in North Carolina called Penland for like 3 months. And so my friends, that band Sylvanesso.
Oh, sure.
I was like house sitting and they let me use their studio. And so it was kind of like a musical boot camp again for me to be like, all right, I have all these ideas. Let me see how decent they are. And then I threw out mostly everything and then wrote a whole lot of new stuff. And it was mostly just about like, how can I learn to make decisions again? And that's what I was like trying to do again with songwriting.
Well, with, you know, Sylvanesso isn't just a band. They're part of a huge network of musicians down there in the Durham, North Carolina area. And they all seem to know each other and play with each other. And didn't take long for you to tap into that, it seems.
I've known those fellas. I've known them for a long time. And I know some of the fellas that work there. And I know I've known Nick and Amelia for a while. I'm glad you brought that up. They live in something they call the Bird Sanctuary, and there's a lot of people, community, that lives in this like little compound. And so there's all these musicians that live there. And so I was able to like talk to my friend Jen Wassner.
And from the band Y Oak.
From the band, and then her partner in the band, Andy Stack, who played steel drums. So it was just like people were just coming over and just setting up. And I was like, oh, let's do this. Let's try this. And there was just like a lot of that happening as well.
Yeah. On the other hand, you know, with all the good feeling and the intimacy and the family-oriented or, you know, neighborhood-oriented music making, there are larger issues, you know, that come into play.
Sure.
And one of the striking things about this record is how you can be listening to it and there's a kind of tension between the sound of the record, this very, you know, welcoming, very quiet sound, and the occasional line that pops up above the surface, and you're thinking, wow, that was dark.
Yeah. I mean, and that's like every day. I feel like not every day is good, and not every moment you feel great. You know, you wake up, and it's just like, damn, I don't feel good. And it's like every moment that you try to do to make that day feel better, even if it's like the 5 minutes right before you fall asleep, you're like, oh, I feel great now that I'm laying down.
Yeah.
The day's over. And I think there's like a lot of that. On the record, I put, we printed on one side of the sleeve, it says, day is clear, night is here, I love you more. And it's kind of just like a mantra for me to just like get through every day.
Well, the song called Please Won't Please has a line which is really kind of startling about lighting yourself on fire just to see if someone will come and pick up the pieces afterwards.
Right. You know, I haven't dug deep into that. There's a lot of things in terms of like my identity that I've talked about. You know, there's a moment in there where we're talking, I sing Brown Won't Go, Brown Just Glows, and it's just, you know, this feeling of this constant feeling of like violence towards like black and brown people,
right,
and other marginalized folks, I could say, but also there's all these moments that I read about. I kind of like dive into like different stories, and I haven't told this story at all to anyone, so I'll tell it to you first. And I can't remember the gentleman's name, and that kind of bums me out. But there was this fellow, I think he was a priest or a pastor of some sort, and he was in Texas, I want to say. And he ended up like immolating. And he was dedicating it as a protest in reference to a lot of the monks who do that. And he was just kind of, he wrote this amazing, just a lot of stuff that he was just talking about. And in terms of like what he was protesting, why he was doing this, and what he wanted to like, what he was trying to help out in the town that he was in, this town that was just like, just that he felt like could be a better place, you know, with all the people that weren't doing such great things. And I thought about that a lot, how people can do that, how they can just really do everything and anything that they can. And then sometimes like that's the last resort and people don't even see it, you know, and that kind of being like, is it just oversaturation of like these kinds of acts, or what's the craziest thing you can do? And sometimes with this music and with this album, what I thought about the most is like how much like quiet music and intimate music can be actually more, more aggressive and not aggressive in the sense of, but just more effective,
right,
in the sense of like getting into someone's mind and talking about things as opposed to using things that have been commodified, like protest, the music.
Right, right. So I'm being told from the control room, Charles Moore is the name of the guy?
I believe so. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah. Died to inspire justice. That was the idea.
That's the best way to put it.
Yeah. So the album is called This Is How You Smile. So it's basically almost like an instruction manual of how to get through the day, it seems.
And it was inspired through this Jamaica Kincaid poem called Girl, which is a beautiful poem, which is a list of instructions.
She's
an amazing writer, but it was just a poem and a list of instructions from a mother to a daughter explaining like how you're supposed to conform to society on this everyday. She's from Antigua, she's a black woman talking to her daughter and telling her like besides being a woman, also like being in this colonized island and just living with all these different things. And she was saying like, this is how you smile at people you don't like, this is how you smile at people you like, this is how you smile at someone you like completely. And it just really like resonated with me, with like just kind of the way I was brought up as well. My mom was teaching me something in my house within like their kind of like Ecuadorian culture, the things that they brought over, and then like going outside and being like, oh shit, this is different, this is weird, you know. It's how things rubbed in weird ways.
Yeah. All right, well, let's hear the song, Please Won't Please. It's from the album called This Is How You Smile. El Lado Negro and the band performing live here in the studio.
One, two, three, four. Get out in ocean on down. Blue tie in orange won't
let go. Let me be. Please, won't please. Hush now, they can't know. Lifelong history shows that brown won't go.
Elato Negro, live here in our New York studio, and that song is called Please Won't Please, comes from the most recent album, This Is How You Smile. And Roberto, I want to come back to something you were saying just before you played that song, which was the idea that this kind of quiet music can get an idea across by insinuating it rather than kind of yelling it at you. And it seems like, you know, at a time where we're all shouting at each other, that that is, in its own way, a kind of a subversive approach that you've hit upon.
It's always worked for me like that. I've always been able to approach and have conversations with folks. Like, when if I see somebody that's, like, frustrated or angry with something that I've done with them, I think it's like I step back and try to think about how can we slow this down and figure out where we can talk and have, like, real communication. And I think that's the feeling that I'm trying to convey more than anything. I don't think yelling, there's nothing wrong with yelling. I think some people just need to be yelled at sometimes. And that's, and I do yell. And I don't, I think that, all those forms are important. It's just, that's my way.
Yeah. Well, you know, your song, Young Latin and Proud, it's not really yelling, but it's explicitly about identity politics, you know, your identity as a person of Ecuadorian heritage. But even in that last song, in Please Won't Please, you know, the references to Brown Won't Go, as you said before, it's not as explicit, but the message is still there. But it's coming in at a different channel, so to speak.
Definitely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, what is the writing process like for you? Do you start with words, music, guitar, piano? What do you do?
It's case to case. Yeah, and I don't have any kind of musical background. Everybody in this room is like these beautifully musical beings that have so much musical knowledge in their brains and are like virtuosos.
Are you telling me you've been faking it for 10 years?
Absolutely. Almost every day I wake up and I'm like, wow, this is crazy. And So when I'm writing music or making music, I don't have any of that vocabulary. I haven't established that vernacular. These folks have actually helped me learn a lot of things in that respect. But I've known it, you know, I think you know music. You don't need to, like, go to school to learn it. So anyone definitely can make music. So when I'm writing, I'm just putting sounds together. I've sculpted sounds, put sounds together. And they're sample-based a lot of times. Like, I'll record people and use them as, like, in terms of, like, how I would use a sample and put it together and assemble it. So there's, like, phonetic moments where I'm, like, singing something and I'm like, well, that sounds like this word in Spanish or in English. And then a theme kind of surfaces through those moments, and then just kind of seeking out sounds that make sense and finding instruments. Like on this record, I was happenstance was Andy played steel pan.
That's Andy from Y Oak.
And that was like, he was like, oh yeah, I haven't played in a long time, you know.
Yeah,
it's like one of those, and he's like some steel pan. He's like, you know, virtuals. And I was like, oh yeah, you haven't played in a long time. First take, I was like, that's great. Well, but, just stuff like that. It's more about theoretical things that happen in my mind, and I'm like, well, that's a cool sound, but maybe I can just take it and turn it into something completely different.
Well, there are a couple of tracks on the record which are just sounds. You know, they're like musique concrete. I'm sure you're not using tape. It's probably all digital.
Right, but it's inspired in that theme for sure.
So what function do those tracks serve?
A lot of different things. They serve as like a, this is the worst way to put it, but as like a palate cleanser in a sense of like a sonic, I need rest from when I'm listening to music. I maybe listen to one song or two songs at a time. And then I'm like, I need something that has nothing to do with songs. And it gives me that opportunity to explore environments that I was already in or in during that time that I was like recording, where I'm listening back to the mixes and I'm walking in an environment. I'm hearing all this stuff. And that's happened a lot. And some of them are gathered recordings. I would text like a bunch of random friends. I'm like, hey, send me a minute of where you're at right now. And so they would turn on their iPhone and just record something and send it to me. And so a lot of those collage pieces are those moments of friends of where they were in a moment. So there's kids, you know, you can hear little kids, you can hear like some kind of like rallies. There's a moment where Jay was just getting married. It was like everybody was celebrating and they had just kissed each other, and it was kind of like this really cool moment. And
that's Jason there behind the drums.
And walking in front of the courthouse in downtown Brooklyn, and there was this ICE protest that was happening that had just finished the march across Brooklyn. And it was a beautiful moment. It was pretty emotional. And just recording that moment, there's all these little layers. Yeah. And I enjoy those layers, and I want to know about those layers as well.
Yeah. And so Sufjan Stevens sends you like a minute of him noodling around the piano.
Yeah, I don't even know what he sent me some kind of, it was funny. I was like, yeah, send me something. And then it was like, I think he like played piano to a cassette tape and then was like pressing and stopping and playing the cassette tape.
All right.
And that worked in this beautiful way where I was like working on a piece and I put that right at the end of that piece. It was the perfect progression to segue into the next song.
The album is called This Is How You Smile by Elado Negro. And the piece you're going to play for us next, called País Nublado, the title translates as Cloudy Country, right? Or Country.
Yeah,
Cloudy
that's
Country.
That's a good way to say it.
Yeah. So is this you kind of claiming this country as your own?
Definitely. But it's also, there's ambiguity with this all. I think for sure it's a country where we're at right now, the country that we're at right now, my country, I guess, you know, the United States. But also, it could be any country as well. It can be a lot of different places. And even the country of your mind, you know, I think there's like that feeling. For me, there's a lot of those kind of like surrealistic aspects in the work that I put and make.
Well, let's hear the song. País Nublado is the name of it. A bilingual song. It's sung in both Spanish and English. And once again, Elado Negro performing live.
Obsesionado con mi boca, habla sin respirar, despacio te digo, porque nos falta un tiempo más para pasear este país nublado, este país nublado. contemplando. Para pasear este país nublado, este país nublado. And I, having lost my mind, thinking about you. And I, having lost my breath, shouting all the things we're about to do. And we'll take our turn, and we'll take our time, knowing that we'll be here long after you. Para pasear este país nublado, este país nublado. Para pasear este país nublado, este país nublado.
The song is called País Nublado, Cloudy Country, and it's a live performance by Helado Negro here in our New York studio. The band is touring around with Beirut for a while, and then you guys will be doing some headlining gigs of your own back here in New York at Elsewhere in Brooklyn on Tuesday night, June 18th. It'll be presumably warmer by then.
Presumably. Who knows, right?
And you'll be up on the roof, is that right?
I think so. That's what they said. We'll see. We'll make sure.
Okay. Well, June 18th, indoors or out at Elsewhere. So, Roberto, when you write a line like, you know, we'll take our turn, we'll take our time, knowing that we'll be here long after you, for all the ambiguity there is in your songwriting, in this day and age, people are going to think they know who the you in that sentence
for sure
is.
I mean, and if you think it's you, then maybe it is you, you know? I mean, maybe you have something to think about if you do think it's you.
Yeah.
I think that's the important aspect of the ambiguity, you know? I think it's not that you shouldn't be explicit, and we all have our insecurities, but if there's things in your life that you have to question, you're like, okay, maybe if I feel defensive about this, then maybe there is something wrong,
yeah,
you know? And I think that's the best way I think people could think about it.
Well, that was a really wonderful arrangement that you guys just played. So, you know, for a guy who's telling us that he, you know, doesn't have a whole lot of musical training and stuff like that, you have won just recently a fellowship that usually goes to composers like Steve Reich and Philip Glass when they were much younger. So people are hearing something, and
I appreciate that. And I think that says a lot about them more than anything.
What's the name of the fellowship?
There's two things I want. I want a United States Artist Fellow in Music, and then also an artist grant for Foundation for Contemporary Arts.
Right.
Foundation for Contemporary Arts is in New York City, and the United States Artist is in Chicago. And yeah, what was the question? That's what I want.
Yeah. Well, he said sheepishly.
No, but more than anything, it's like I was saying, it says a lot about them. They're doing the work these institutions should be doing, which is looking at what people are working on now, not looking at what's going to help their brand, but looking and supporting at artists who don't come from these traditional backgrounds that are like, that come from these resources that some people like have all these resources. They're born into like all this stuff and in a lot of respects, privilege. And some people aren't, but they kind of come to, and I was lucky to figure things out and have people around me who help me figure things out.
Well, it's been 10 years since the first El Lado Negro record, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the latest is called This Is How You Smile. This is normally the point where I hold up for the camera an LP or a CD, but they're all sold out, so I'm holding up the bumper sticker. Roberto, congratulations.
Thank you so
for bringing the band in. Yeah. Sounded great.
Thank you to them. They're amazing.
Wonderful job, guys. El Lado Negro on Soundcheck.
Cambias todo y tú cambias todo y tú cambias.
That'll do it for this edition of the Soundcheck podcast, but as always, there's much more to be found on our website. Lots of other performances, video shot in the studio, the daily gig alerts, weekly music roundups, new sound shows, and more. Check it out at newsounds.org. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.
Fantasma vaga, fantasma vaga.